changes, has it not? So I was praying my own personal prayer because I had a glitch happen to me at Bethany about 2 months ago, and I'm going, Lord, I'm not sure I can pull this off if it happens here. Everything that morning in worship went just fine. They don't use technology like we do here, so it's a little easier and less likely to fall apart. But the one technology that is used is this. And so I opened my sermon at Bethany, and I forget what the screen said, but it was like the blue screen of death. And it was something like, cannot access file. I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the people, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. What do you do? And God was so faithful, because I pretty much had the message committed to memory, didn't realize it until I had to do it. But so when we were sitting here and we were listening to the offertory, I'm going, okay, God, should I be prepared to do it from memory? Because the glitches are here. Ha, it works. Praise God. It works. It works. So this passage follows follows the passages. Okay, this is getting scary. Thus saith the Lord. No. This passage follows the passages we talked about last week on children. Do you remember those that Star shared this morning were ones that we talked about last week and how we are to be little children in the eyes of Christ and in the eyes of God. And now you have an encounter. Christ continues along this pathway and this man comes up to him. And what does he want? So many people come to him for healing. They come to him for being freed from demonic forces. What does this man want?
He wants to know how to get to heaven.
He wants to know how to get to heaven. Now, if he came to you and he said, how do I get to heaven? I hope you'd be able to give him the answer. Right? Yes? Does anybody need the answer? Okay, so the answer is through Christ, through belief in Christ. So Jesus, interestingly, responds in a way that at first glance is not that surprising. But to this man, it would have been tremendously surprising. This man has worked hard to follow all the rules. We know that. Legalistically, he's doing just fine. Jesus tells him, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Leave it all behind. That's the title of this message. Leave it all behind. If you get rid of all of your earthly wealth and priorities, you will have treasure in heaven. We agree with that. Yes, we agree with that. Get rid also of your attitude of superiority. So why do I say that this man has an attitude problem? The first verse that Will read said, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What a grand entrance! What a grand entrance. Here, Jesus is walking. Picture him walking with his followers. And this man comes running up and falls on his knees. Good teacher. Why is that significant? He was a wealthy man. We know this. In Luke, the passage in Luke that tells the same story, he's called a rich ruler. In Matthew, we learn that he is young. Young man, very rich, of the ruling class. And he says, good teacher. Good teacher. That's a title. That is a greeting. Saying to Jesus, you are awesome. You are wonderful. Now acknowledge how wonderful I am. It is a customary greeting of the time by someone in high status. And custom would have said to Jesus to say something like, "Honorable sir, what can I do for you?" That's what this young ruler would have expected. Not, "Well, you know the commandments, right?" That's not what this young man expected to hear. He expected something probably along the lines of, "Oh, you're doing plenty. You don't have to worry. You have the right rules. You have the right status. You're rich. Thereby, God is already happy with you." Because in that day, when you were rich, it was a sign of God's blessing and pleasure. This was not what he expected to hear. "What must I do?" the man says. Who's he interested in? Himself. He is totally interested in himself. He's in a crowd. Does he say, "What should we do?" No. "What must I do?" Jesus' response, he looks at him and says, "One thing you lack. One thing. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." One thing you lack. So this man is one of those people that you'd look at and you'd say, he's got it all. He's got it all. He's got status. He's got money. He's got position. He's an important person. But he lacks something, Jesus says. I don't think this man necessarily felt he lacked anything. He seems pretty self-confident in the way that he comes before Jesus. But he lacks fulfillment. He doesn't realize it. But spiritually, he is lacking fulfillment. And he lacks compassion for others. He's interested only in himself. Question for you. Does money buy happiness? We will all say no. But if we're honest, are there people that we look at and we go, "Wow, must be nice. Must be nice to be able to do all of that. Must be nice to have that problem, you know, a rich person's problem." We had 2 high-profile suicides this past week. I don't know if you follow the news. Kate Spade, a designer, and what she designed was all fun stuff. Women loved her stuff because her stuff spoke to a carefree, happy lifestyle. She killed herself. Anthony Bourdain, world-renowned chef, greatly beloved by so many people, couldn't go on living. Couldn't go on living. There's an old poem, some of us will remember it as a song, sung by Simon and Garfunkel. It's one of my favorite songs, and some of you are going, "Simon and Garfunkel, never heard of them." And that's okay, because I'm going to read the poem. Because the poem is powerful. This poem is all the way back to 1897. And this is the poem. "Whenever Richard Cory went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman from sole to crown, clean-favored and imperially slim. And he was always quietly arrayed, and he was always human when he talked. But still he fluttered pulses when he said good morning, and he glittered when he walked." I have that picture. I love these words. "And he was rich, yes, richer than a king, and admirably schooled in every grace. In fine, we thought that he was everything to make us wish that we were in his place. So on we worked and waited for the light and went without the meat and cursed the bread. And Richard Cory, one calm summer night, went home and put a bullet through his head. It was a hit song. That's very interesting too, is it not, that people related to that. This rich young ruler was probably a lot like Richard Corey. Somewhere inside, there was a sense that he needed something, or he wouldn't have come to Jesus in the first place. I served as a missionary, short-term missionary, in a place called Helene, Honduras. And Helene, I've shared a little bit about it, I think. Helene is an island off the coast of Honduras. And the people who populate Helene are descendants of the slaves of the pirates of the Caribbean. Descendants of the slaves of the pirates of the Caribbean. When I went there, and you had to take a boat, obviously, to get there. And we go past these caves where the pirates used to hide. And the idea of adventure comes to your mind. But you get to this island, and these people are of African descent. They are not Hispanic. They are of African descent, and they are the outcasts of one of the poorest countries in the world. They had nothing. Their houses were built from the wood that washed up on the shore. They had no plumbing. It was incredibly unsanitary. They ate things like iguana. They offered me some. Why wouldn't I try it? Tastes like chicken. Truly, it tastes like chicken. But this is what was so striking. They were the happiest people I ever met in my life. They were so full of joy, and they wanted to know all about Jesus. They would call me into their homes, and I would hold their children. And those children, the babies, they had nothing on. And I remember, because I was a mom, I remember what it was like to hold a little boy, and I knew the risk that I was taking. And I thought to myself, what could be better? What could it be? It could possibly be better than this. We in the United States, with all of our wealth, and yes, even the poorest here are wealthy compared to that kind of poverty, we find it hard to seek the kingdom. We find it hard. Things get in the way. Other things get in the way. Jesus said, sell all your possessions and give the proceeds to the poor. Not just the money, but everything he had. Everything. Don't sell the same things and spend money on yourself. Mm-mm. Give it all. Give it all away. Leave it all behind. How does it feel to give to somebody in deep need? How does that feel? If you haven't done it, do it. Do it. Not just because the Lord tells us to do it, but because you will be blessed. You will be blessed. How far are we willing to go to give something up in order to give to the poor? How far are we willing to go? Our extra change? Some of us can't do that. $10 that we had left over after this purchase. I knew of a young man who every day in his university days, he would take half of his money every day, and so it diminished pretty quickly. Half of the money that he had for that day, and he would go out and he would give it away. One of the most impressive young men I ever met, and he did it because he felt that's what he was supposed to be doing. There are two emotions in this passage that are listed, and they're both very critical. Can you remember any of the emotions that were there? Think about the passage for a minute. Disappointment, and the word that was written was sad. Yes, and who felt that way? The rich young ruler felt that way because he had a lot to give up. It's interesting that in the three different accounts of this story, three different words are used. That's very rare. Usually there's consistency across the Gospels. When you put them together, it's not just sad. It's very sad. It's grieved to the core, exceedingly sorrowful and distressed. That's how this young man felt after Jesus told him what he needed to do. And it says the man's face fell. Have you ever seen that expression? I think of children when I think of that, when they're disappointed. And there's something they thought they were going to get. And it didn't happen. He probably lost that arrogance, at least for that time, and that confidence. Because suddenly what he thought made him look so great was what Jesus was telling him he needed to get rid of. It's not what he expected Jesus to say. But what he did not feel is significant too. He wasn't angry. He wasn't dismissive. He didn't think it was funny. Why was he sad? Why was he sad? Because he knew he couldn't do it. He knew he could not do what Jesus asked him to do. And then, by definition, he knew he would not inherit eternal life. That's enough to make you sad. So, how do we react when we don't do what Scripture tells us to do? Because we all have those moments. Yeah, we do. I don't want to hear your confession, but I know it's there. I do it too. How do we feel when we let Jesus down? Sad. Any other emotions? Guilty. That's what I wrote down. Ashamed. Or worst of all, no emotion. Apathy. So what? So what if I don't love my neighbor? So what if I care more about my money? So what? That's very common. That's very common. Love your neighbor? Oh, well. Tithe? Not going to happen. Put God first in everything? Right. At least the rich man felt something. At least he felt something. We don't know the end of his story. We don't know whether those emotions and that deep grief led him to consider what Jesus asked him to do. Maybe one day he was able to do it. There's another emotion in the passage, and I bet you missed it because I did too. In verse 21, after this rich man comes to him and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" It says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Loved him. He looked at him. He saw this man for exactly who he was. And he loved him. And the word is agape. Unconditional love. And that is good news. That is good news. He knew. He knew this was a heart issue for this man. He knew how the man would respond to the challenge, and he loved him anyway. That's good news for us too. It's not a reason to let Jesus down, don't get me wrong. But when we do, because we will, it's important to know that he loves us. He loves us. Have you ever known, those of you that are parents, dads on Father's Day, moms, you too, Have you ever known your kid was going to make a bad choice? You knew it before they ever did it. You knew it. It's like, doggone, I wish I could stop them, but they're going to do it. And you love them. You love them. The disciples' reaction is interesting. They were amazed. They were amazed because Jesus has said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, the teachings of the time said that the rich people were those God loved best. That wealth was a sign of God's pleasure. And Jesus says, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than for what? I love this passage. A camel to go through the eye of a needle? That visual is just awesome to me. It's like, what? What? And they ask him, how can anybody do it? And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. And these are words to live by. All things are possible with God. That's something to praise God about. When we can't give up our earthly priorities, when we can't do it, God can help us. Lord, please help me to care more. Help me, Lord, to let go of those things that hold me back. When we don't feel compassion, God can help us to feel compassion. He sends His Spirit that we can feel Him. And then the disciples, I love these disciples, they're so fun. But Lord, we gave it all up. Look at us. It's our turn to shine, Lord. We gave it all up. We left it all behind. We left it all behind. And does Jesus correct them? No. He doesn't. He says, anyone who gives up home, brothers, sisters, mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will receive 100 times as much while on the earth. That's significant. The blessings aren't just after we die. The blessings are now. And then he comes back to what we talked about last week. But many who are first, like the rich young ruler, will be last. And the last will be first. We will be blessed 100 times over when we have Jesus as more important than our families. What? More important than our children. More important than our jobs. More important than anything. Anything. And then Jesus throws in this one little thing, which is super important. In all of this, we're going to be persecuted. Be nice if it were all going to be easy. But it's not. But He's going to be there for us then. So, I have 2 challenges. Are you up for it? Most of you have told me you like it when I get real down and dirty and I tell you exactly how to respond. First of all, you should always be listening to Christ, not to me, necessarily. These are 2. 1, either bring someone to church next Sunday, preferably somebody who's not been here before or in a very long time, or, if that's too hard, invite someone to bring their children to Shipwrecked. That's our VBS theme. Is that too hard? Then you have to put away your fear. You have to leave that behind. Give them a sign-up form. They're downstairs. They're downstairs. Now, 2nd challenge. This can be instead of. You ready? Sell something. Sell something. You know how it goes. Offer up. Facebook, however you do it. Ad in the paper. Something at the grocery store. Sell something. Something that matters. And give that money to someone in need. Do it. I challenge you. I dare you. Because that's what Jesus said. This isn't my challenge. This is His. Sell something this week. And give that to the poor. And then come back and tell us about it. Come back and tell us about it. We've been talking about bless. And I hope that you realize, the leadership team talked about this yesterday. This is not something that was a six-week thing and it's done and we never do it again. This is ongoing. And I've been hearing wonderful stories about how this way of looking at evangelism has changed us. Beginning with prayer. Listening with care. What's the third one? Eat together. That's an easy one. Serve one another. Serve with love. And share your story. Do you know, in doing all of that, it makes the rest of this easy. Makes it easy. Don't just go home and go, wow, that was a good sermon, or that was a terrible sermon. Go home and do something. Do something with God's word. Don't be like the rich young ruler who said, can't do it, and walk away. Do something this week. You will be blessed, Jesus promises. Amen? Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, help your word to dig in deep this morning. That we are compelled to do something. That we are compelled to sacrifice for someone. That they will come to know you. Lord, thank you for your word, which is so powerful. Show us how to leave it all behind and just be focused on you. Lord, it's hard, especially in these summer months to come, to stay focused on you. But Lord, we can do this with your help. It's in your name we pray. Amen.